Let's begin the bottom of Yud Beis and Beis. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Hane Shushi V'Shavtsari. So I'm not sure exactly what these things are. Rashi says they're types of vegetables. He gives some old French, which is not going to help us at all. But well, maybe you know French. I don't know if you know French, Ricky. But
I do.
Not the old French. So in French, at least, they're called Playa and Arniza. And so these things, Rav Yehuda says, one can be Mesachim Behu. You could use these things as schach, and Abai Amar b'shushi mesachin. You could use shushi, but b'shav tzari lo mesachin. He is mechalik. One you can, one you cannot. So he gives a reasoning. So Rashi explains the very last line on Amar Beis mesachin behen she'enam mekablim tuma lefi she'enam ma'ichal adam. These things are vegetables, but they're not things that humans eat. They're things that animals eat. If they're not considered ma'ichal adam, they're not going to be mekabel tuma. So he said before, things that grow from the ground and are not mekabel tuma can be used for schach. These things are vegetables, they grow from the ground. Since they're not food for men, they're not makabel tuma, it therefore works. My time, Rashi explains the reasoning, why can't you use, if the Gemara asks, why can't you use shavtsari? If shavtsari are not makabel tuma, so why doesn't Abai allow you to use shavtsari? So Gemara says, my time, kaven desari rechayu. So since Rashi explains, tabai mavish recham, the smell, it smells very bad, shavikluhu, person's going to, menafik, he's going to leave. You know, if you're going to make the sukkah, the schach, something that smells bad, the guy's going to leave the sukkah and he's not going to stay. So even though you're right, it's a good schach in terms of the dinim we need, there are other factors to take into account. Amar of Chanan Barava Hani Hizmi V'Higi, these types of rashes, Mine Sne, a type of bush. Mesachim Behu, you're allowed to use these as schach. And by Amar B'Hizmi Mesachinam, B'Higi Lo Mesachinam, so again, by Mechalik, he says, you're right, fundamentally, you're allowed to use these. These things grow from the ground, and they're not considered Michael Adam. But why can't you use Higi? Because my time, says the Gemara, came in the Nisru, Terfayu, Shavik Luvanafik. Rashi explains that the Nisru, Terfayu, Notion Olin Shalahem, the leaves fall off, they start to dry out and fall. There's going to be a little uncomfortable falling into your food, so a person's going to leave the sukkah. So you can't make anything schach that's going to cause a person to leave the sukkah. And that's why those are disqualified as schach. So Amar Rav Gida Amar Rav. Hai afkusa de dikla. These offshoots on the date tree, which Rashi explains to us, that grow from the bottom of the date tree. Misachim behu schach. V'yafagav de agide egid. Afagav de agide. Even though it's egid, even though they're tied together, Rashi explains what's the mitzvah here. See, Rashi is three lines from the top. V'afagav da'agide. Shemichubarim anfei ilan yachad. All the various leaves are tied together. That's how it grows. V'dami, it's similar to l'chavilin, to the chavilin we spoke of yesterday, or 2 days ago rather. D'amrinon ein mesachin behu. That you're not allowed to use bundles of anything because there's a concern that you might use it tasa lumina asoi, the gzera mina otzer. We spoke of either yesterday or 2 days ago, I don't remember exactly. So this looks like bundles, looks like you're storing things and leaving on top of the schach, even though it grows that way. So one would think maybe you shouldn't use it. So the Gemara says, even though it is agide, even though it looks like bundles, eged bidei shemayim, the Gemara says, lo shmei eged. Even since it's eged bidei shemayim, that it's made, that's the way it's created, it's not created by man, but it's created that way, that's not going to be considered an eged, and one may use it as chach. And then the Gemara says, afagav the hadar agid leo, and even let's say a person ties on his own these leaves together, it's still not going to be a problem of an eged, because eged bichad lo shmei eged. If you tie something on its own, you take, let's say, one branch, and it's soft enough, you could tie it to itself, that's not considered an eged. So you see, in terms of the eged, you need two things. One is you have to do the eged on your own, a person, might be the adam, and it has to be at least two different objects tied together. One object tied to itself is not considered an eged. So the Gemara says, now, Amar Rav Chizda, Amar Ravina, Bar Shila, Hani Dukri, Dikani misachim behu. So what's dukri dikani? Rashi tells us is kein afkusa de diklet. Similar to what we spoke of above, the offshoots of a tree, el shazeh shakanim vizeh shal dikalim. One is an offshoot of reeds and one's an offshoot of trees. So before we spoke of the offshoots of trees, now we're speaking about offshoots of the reeds. So that's allowed to be used for schach. And Alpha God, the Gemara says, Zagidininhu, even though they grow wrapped together, Eged Bideshimaim, Loshme Eged, if it's made the way it's created that way, that's not a problem. Eged. And Afagav the Havdar Agidlu, even if a person were to go ahead and tie it on his own, Eged Bichal, Loshme Eged. Same thing. If a person just takes one of the offshoots of the reeds and ties it with itself, that's not a considered an Eged. It has to be at least two things. Tani Nami Hachi, Brisa says the same thing.
Both cases, we're talking that he takes on the same branch, he just takes it as he
I think that's what I'm getting. Yeah,
is there a picture? Or not?
I was looking for a picture. I don't see anything here. Let's see in the back if there's maybe a picture. But I think it's they take the same branch and tie it to itself, one end to the next end. When Daf Yud Gimel.
It would almost seem Shita that it shouldn't be
I guess, I don't know. Is it so?
Maybe not.
Yeah, these are the arrows, yeah.
Oh, this is when you make the hole inside, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't see anything on this picture, but I think it's one.
Sorry.
I think it's just one thing.
What I'm picturing is you have a stump, and you've got things coming out.
And then you tie them.
Right, and then you tie over here. So you cut it off here, right? So then you still have them all growing from the same stump. And then you tie it, but they're all growing out, so then that's going to have too much shade, so you tie it up over here.
But you tie without cutting it, or once you cut it, then it's already managed.
Well, if you cut it here, and you cut it here, then you'll be fine. If you cut it off the stump, and now you got five separate branches,
but
that's easy.
But the bottom is still
attached. Yeah, but now I think they cut off here, so they're all still attached to the stump.
Uh-huh.
And now you're tying it over here.
But they're still attached
together. They're still attached
together.
Okay,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So now is that a bundle?
Uh-huh.
So I think it's saying, no, it's not a bundle, but they're really really attached over here.
Okay,
that's
get that.
That's what I'm picturing.
Right, no, I also pictured like that.
Oh, okay.
I had no picture, so you guys better
know. I also pictured it comes from the bottom like that, and then they tie it later. Yeah.
Right. Okay, I really didn't think about it, but okay, that makes sense to me. Especially if both of you think that way.
So I had an impression. I don't know why. I also had from what it said.
Okay. So the Gemara says now Tanya Nami Hachi. There's a brisa that says the same thing. Konim v'dukronim misachim behu. So the reeds and the dukronim are the offshoots that you could use as chach. What's the pshita? Of course. Why couldn't you use reeds? Why couldn't you use the konim? No, ema. Kanim shel dukronim misachim behen. What it means is the offshoots of the reeds, that's allowed to be used. That's the chiddush. Of course, reeds you could use, the kanim alone. It's the kanim shel dukronim, which are the things that are, they come together, wrapped together, you would have thought you couldn't use. The Brisa teaches us you can use those things, because eged bidei shemaim lo shmei eged. Gemara says, now, v'amar of chisa, amar ravina barshila, honey marurisa de agma adam yotze behen yidei chavasa, bepesach. Marisa the Agma is a maror that grows in the swampy areas. A person is allowed to use that for his mitzvah of maror. Is there any Rashi here? Rashi just says chazeres shel egem. A type of chazeres is the typical maror that we're supposed to be using. That's like lettuce. So the lettuce that would grow in the swamp, that one can be yotzer. Asks the Gemara, Meisive. Ezov, the pasuk says, is Ezov is whereby, I think what you, like last time you said, regards to the Pesach. Let's see, is there a Pasuk here? This one's Mitzara, okay.
Yeah, this one is Mitzara, yeah.
Okay, so this one's Mitzara. We take the Ezov, you need to take it, put in the blood, and you have to put it onto the Mitzara. So when it says Ezov in the Pasuk, the Gemara is Darshan's Ezov, v'lo Ezov Yavon. It can't be a Greek type of Ezov. And v'lo Ezov B'Kochli, not an Ezov from that area. V'lo Ezov Midbar, not one found in the desert. V'lo Ezov Romi, not one found in Rome. V'lo Ezov Sheish Lo Shem Lovi. And any Ezov that has other nickname, it has to be just Stam, an Ezov. It can't be Ezov with any other second name to it. So look, Gemara asks, the implicit question is, and Rashi says it straight out, you see Rashi, v'lo kol Ezov Sheish Lo Shem Lovi? Hachanami Mara Ksiv. The Pasuk says Mara. V'lo mira rasa da agma da ha'u shem lovi. You can't use a Mara of the swamp. You need to have just Mara. You can't have a second name to it. Just like an Ezov has to be Stam Ezov, not a Roman Ezov, not a Greek Ezov. So Amar Abai says, Kol shenishtana shmo kodim matan Torah basa Torah vikbidu alav. I'll read the whole line. It's a long line. We'll go through it again. V'ikbidu alav b'yadua sheyesh lo shem lovi. V'hani lo nishtana shmayayu kodim matan Torah klal. So what does that all mean? So let's look at Rashi first, then we'll go back and read it in the Gemara. Rashi says, Kol Nishana Shmo Kodem Matan Torah, right around here, smack in the middle of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph.
So, we just hit this paragraph.
So it was starting 6:30. What happened?
You got a haircut in the morning, that's why. So the Gemara says, Kol Shenishtana Shmo Kodem Matan Torah, Rashi explains, Sheyesh bo mekama minim v'chol echad shem lovi. There are different types of minim, different types of species, different names. Kmo ezov kochlis. V'kodem Matan Torah, hayazeh shmo. This was the name before Matan Torah. Ubasa Torah v'kibidu shekasa v'kama mekomos ezov lo nichta b'echam hem echam mishmos halalu. Meaning, before the Torah came, there was a Greek, what's an ezov in English exactly? It's a
hyssop.
A hyssop, the H I think, right? Yeah. Hyssop. Right, so you have a Greek hyssop, and you have a Roman hyssop, and you have a desert hyssop, and that all existed before Torah came. Came along the Torah and said, I want you to pick an ezov, a hyssop alone. So the fact that Torah cared for hyssop and didn't mention a specific type of one was coming to exclude any other one with a shem lovi, with a nickname to it, with a Greek one, a desert one. Just a hyssop, a regular hyssop.
What is this one? Kodim haya lo shem levi?
Lovi. It's unclear how to pronounce the word exactly. Shem lovi. But it's like a nickname. Instead of a, it's
shem levi.
So it's the way you qualify, you describe a particular type of species.
Levi.
Okay. So. So how, and then look at the next Rashi. We'll read back in the Gemara in a second. But honey merisa lo nishana shmam kodem matan Torah. It didn't change its name from before the Torah. Uch shenisna Torah lo hayukrun el marastam. Uch shehizkir mirorim avze haya b'mashma. So this case, the Mar did never change its name from beforehand, and when the Torah was given, they called it Mar, a regular Mar. And when they mention Merorim, it means this is included as well. So what's that all saying? Let's see this.
No, it's basically saying that you know what Rashi is saying? Or?
Well, let's see Pshat and the Gemara, I guess.
Well, the Pshat is that anything that before Matan Torah was Shem Stam, and then after Matan Torah they added like a certain denomination because of the place, then it's okay because at the time of Matan Torah the Torah was called, it was included those, right? I mean, that's what basically saying.
Well, anything that had like different names before the Matan Torah,
then those are not good.
Right, so why is Mar different though?
Because at the time of Matan Torah, they I guess maybe these places didn't even exist.
Uh-huh.
Like Rome didn't, I mean, I guess they were just regular. Now they are because of the, like Midbar, where they was, I don't know.
Okay, so I guess that's the point. When it came to the hyssop, I think it was different. When it came to the hyssop tree on the Azov, those places existed. So the fact that, I'm not sure about Rome, but that's the way the Gemara is explaining at least. So when the Pasuk said Azov, it meant Dafka Azov. Not an Azov Romi, not an Azov Midbar, not an Azov Kochli. But apparently Mara, we have to just take this, except the Gemara, Mara did not have specific names. There wasn't a swamp found Mara. Everything was just Mara. Anything bitter was called Mara. The Torah came and said, Mara included every type of min. That's why it's different than an Azov. Azov had other nicknames to it. There are different types of Azovs. Mara, there's one Mara and that's all. So that's the difference. So let's read this in the Gemara again from Amar Abai. Abai explains as follows. There's a difference between Mara and Azov. Kol shenishtana shmo kodem matan Torah, anything that had different names before matan Torah, like the Azov, ubasa Torah v'ikbidu alav, and the Torah came and was very specific which type it wanted only in Azov, Biodua, that's known, Sheyesh lo shem lovi. It's telling us that it had a shem lovi to it. It had other nicknames, and the Torah wanted a specific type, the Azov alone. V'hani, however, these, the Marer, lo nishana shemayo kodem matan Torah. There were not different types of species. There's all one thing of called Marer, klal. And that's why when it says Marer, it includes every type of species. Now, to address your question about Rome, I think someone in the back says, does this seem to indicate that Rome existed before Matan Torah? So it's Tiferes Yisrael and Maseches Para. On the Mishnah, he asks, Rome didn't exist before Matan Torah. So how could the Gemara imply that there was such a thing called Azov Rome? Rome didn't exist. Because he brings a riot from the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun Vav, that says when Shlomo married Bas Paro.
That's what I was saying, that a Malach came and put a spear on, very good. On the ocean.
Exactly.
And became Rome. But that's, I was thinking about, but that was way after Matan Torah.
Exactly. So that's the question.
Ah, that's right. Exactly, because of that drush.
What is Shem Levi, like a nickname?
What?
What is the Shem Levi?
Nickname's not a good way
because
to say it, really,
you,
but...
You missed it, because they're saying, let's say, that it was, they were telling, let's say, Ace of Romy, Ace of Midbar, so it's like a description of...
What is the Ace of?
Ace of is what?
What is Ace of?
What they use for the Metzora, you know, when they put it in the blood.
Type of like bush or something, or plant.
And then now it's also saying that Maror, talking about Maror, that the Maror from a certain place is kosher. So it's saying, you know, so the question is it that Midaraisa or not, that the Maror, when it's mentioned, is it okay or not?
So the way he explains it to Pharisees throughout this question, he said it was called an Azo. The one that found the Rome was called an Azo of a Kolshu. It had like a nickname, but wasn't called Rome, Azo of something. Game. Then it changed its nickname to Azo of Romy, but something like that. It's a great question. Right. The answer's not as good as the question, but it could be Romy was a different place than what we know as Rome. Maybe there's another place called Rome. And then the big Rome became the real Rome. Okay. Continues the Gemara now. Gemara says another answer. Rava Amar Hani Miriasa Stama Shmayayo. And really, the Hide the Kari. So this Mara that's found in the swamps in the Agam is really called Mara Stam. The Hide the Kari Lumarisa the Agma. Why do we call it the Mara that's found in the swamps? Mishim the Mishtachok Bagma, because it's found there. But when we call it Mara Dagmasa, that's not really the name of it. We don't call it a swamp found Mara. It's called Mara. We just tell you.
Where
to find it, exactly. But that doesn't become part of the name of it, as opposed to the Ezo Rome and the Ezo Yavon, that actually becomes part of the name. Now, there's an interesting discussion here in the Achronim, it also comes up in Psachim, when we're looking for different types of species for Maror, so do we go based on what it's actually called, or do you go based on whether it's bitter, the taste of it? So some say only that which is listed in the Mishnah, if you remember the Mishnah in Psachim, only those which is called Maror, we give it a name of Maror, or things that actually taste like Maror. That's Achron Machlokas here, and it's a Machlokas in the Gemara Pesachim. Okay, the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav Chista, Iged Bechad Lo Shmei Eged. We said above that if you tie one reed to itself, that's not called an Eged. We said already an Eged is puzzle for Schach because you can't use bundles for Schach. Let's say you tie one to itself, that's not considered an Eged. Let's say you tie Shalosh Shmei Eged. You tie three different reeds together. That's considered an eged, and that cannot be used. What about shnayim? Let's say you want to tie two reeds together. Is that going to be more like one, or that's going to be more like three in puzzle? So the Gemara says it's a machlokas Rabbi Yossi Rabbanon. This next few lines are going to be a little bit confusing. It's really a debate between Rabbi Yossi Rabbanon whether or not you could use two reeds together, whether that's considered an eged. So we're talking about in general whether it's considered an eged, and that would apply to a sukkah. So where are we going to see whether it's considered an eged in general? The Gemara says, quotes a mission to Tanan. This mission is found in Para. So when it comes to the Paraduma, you had to take the Azov and some other things, the Shani Salas or something, Salas Shani, I mean, you stick it in the blood and you sprinkle it onto the person who's tummy. This is a quotation from the Masechet Para, In Seder Taros, there's a Masechet Para.
So a whole book for Para, for the mitzvah of the Paraduma.
Mm-hmm. There's no Gemara on it, though. Only Mishnayos.
Uh-huh. So they have no discussions about the Mishnah.
But other Gemaras bring them in.
In this case.
You bring it here, discuss it. In Yuma, if you remember, a lot of Maseches Yuma talks about Paraduma.
The same thing happens with all with the Ezraim. That probably discusses, but they may mixed up in many other places.
So there's nothing specifically for that. Right.
So Gemara says it's not. So where do we see machlokas about two, whether two is considered an eged when two things are together? So the Mishnah says, this is the opinion of the Chachamim, mitzvahs ezov, shlosha klachim, has to be three branches, ubahen shlosha givolin. And on each of the branches, you need three, what's the definition of givolin?
Givolin, givol. Echad bechol kelach. Givol is the...
Give all who
think of the flower.
So you have three stems with three branches?
Right. It's a stem, right.
So you need three. What do you need? The klachim are what? The roots?
Klachim are the upshoots. Like you have like a stem, and then what comes out.
So you need three branches. The givolim are the branches, and then you need three stems. No, I'm using the wrong words. What are the English words they use?
It's backwards. It should say three stems, yes. Right? And then each one has three things.
Exactly. So the kalachim are really the offshoots sprigs. And the springs and the
sprig,
givolim
sprig
sprig
yeah.
Sprig, okay,
never heard that word.
No, so now I do. So and the and the givolim are the branches, the stems,
stem,
are saying.
Right.
So you have stem and then you have three sprigs. I'm gonna try to get that word sprigs. So you have to have three of those with three sprigs on each of them.
No. It seems not. It seems each one one.
Each, you have to have a total of three.
Yeah, is it Hamishnah Matricha Sheyu Shlosha Kelachim Shebechol Echad Mein Gvul Echad?
Givol.
Bechol Echad.
Bechol Kelach. No, the Givol is the center. It's anyone you have one. One with three Kelachim. With three sprigs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Shlosha Givolim and nine...
No, but we just said that Givol is the center.
Yeah. So one. Three of those.
And the Kelach...
is the offspring.
According to the Rashi is klachim is shrashim, the roots.
Shrashim, yeah, root.
Yeah, so I think the klachim, you need a root, and a givol Rashi is lechol klach.
No, the givol is the root.
According to the Rashi, no. Shrashim, it's...
right.
Shoresh is the root.
Right,
yeah,
that's klachim.
But givol is the root is the first thing, then you have the givol.
Right, so the root, the klachim is the root, and the givol is the stem that goes
so
up.
So the klachim is the root. Okay.
Right, klachim is the root. So you need one root, and each root needs one sprig,
yeah.
One thing sticking up. So you need three of those things. Okay.
Okay.
So we have it. That's according to the Tanakhama. And then Rabbi Yossi Omer, mitzvahs ezov, shlosha givolim. The mitzvahs have three givolim, three of these sprigs. I'm going to get this word. By the time we're done, I'm going to know this word in my vocabulary. Vishirav shnayim, but the remainder can be two. You can have two if you only have two that works with the avid. Rashi explains if one of them falls off, you still, as long as you have two remaining, that's good enough. The gardumav kolshu. So gardumav is when you...
The offsprings are soft, and after you maze three times, they're breaking.
So what's gardumav, though?
Gardum, klomar, im nishbiru givolim, if the sprigs broke, dai shisher kolshu, it's enough that something will left from each one
in terms of the
in
size.
Order to consider aguda. Ezov, I'm sorry.
But what does gardumav mean? Because gardumav?
Stubs.
Okay, you have stubs left. After you shake it, and right. It's going to crack, as long as a little stub you're holding on to, so that's going to be good enough. So kasakadaitach, the Gemara explains, kasakadaitach, you would have thought, Midishirav Shnayim, from the fact that Rabbi Yossi permits if one fell off completely, and as long as you have two stubs remaining, Tchilasanami Shnayim, that Lichat Chilo, so you're allowed to use two in the first place. So we see that according to the Rabbi Yossi, two is enough to be considered an Eged, because you need an Eged for the Paraduma, and the Tanakhama requires three for an Eged. So we see this Machlokas, does two qualify as an Eged, or does not qualify as an Eged?
But what falls off is what? Is the.
According to Rabbi Yossi, so if one klach givol entirely falls off, as long as you have two left, and each
and
one is at
long,
least a stub.
And as long as you have three, but you still have to have the three klachim in the hand.
Oh, no, so look what he says. The haik, the kasan, the gemara says, shlosha le mitzvah. It's only le mitzvah, but not le kuva. It's okay to have two even. Right? Again, chacham say you need three.
Right.
Rabbi Yossi says, mitzvah three, but as long as you have two remaining, it's good also.
But he means, Rabbi Yossi only means on the, that he, maybe he's still meaning that he's still holding on to the klachim, and he just the givol. What is Rabbi, I'm sorry, where is Rabbi Yossi's?
Rabbi Yossi's statement is, mitzvah ezov shlosha, right? Givolim.
Shosha givolim.
Vishirav shnayim.
Shirav
shnayim. If one completely falls off and you're still holding on to two, that works.
Okay.
So the Gemara says again, kasaka died
done. You
need a...
I'm going to buy one of these.
Yeah.
If you get the Masifta, it's all in one.
I know. Okay. I think it's still cheaper to buy the Hebrew and the picture.
Dalit.
Oh, yeah? It's possible. These are 25 each.
These are 28, but you probably need how many?
Two of these.
Yeah.
This, oh, maybe you need three. No, you need three of these, actually.
This is $25?
So, yeah, so this is 75 for the whole set of this one.
It's 28,
you need two of these. 56, how much?
22, right?
This is cheaper, $3 cheaper.
It's probably 20, 22.
It's probably around the same price.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, so the Gemara says, Kasaka daitan midishirav shnayim, the fact that Rabbi Yossi permits remaining two, Tchilas anami shnayim. He even allows lechachila. You could use two. Ah, but didn't he say mitzvah b'three? Behind the kasayin shlosh lemitzvah. That's the mitzvah. Only mitzvah, but not likuva. If you want to be machmir, you could do three. But lechachila, the bare minimum, you could even start with two. Even two, according to Rabbi Yossi, is a considered an eged for paraduma. And when we do Rabbi Yossi shlosh lemitzvah, from the fact that we learn Rabbi Yossi holds three is only a mitzvah, but really two is the requirement. We could learn from that. The Rebbe Banan, shlosh l'akev. If you don't have three, it's ma'akev. So what comes out is two, according to Rabbi Yossi, two works. According to Rebbe Banan, two does not work. Machlok is whether two is considered eged or not. Umar challenges and says, v'hat hanya, doesn't the Brisa teach us? Rabbi Yossi omer, ezov tchilasa shnayim, if let's say you started off with two. V'shiarav echad, and you, or in another case, you have one remaining in your hand. Puzzle. It's possible. V'eino kasher ad shiyehe tchilasa shlosha v'shirav shnayim. Rabbi Yossi says you have to start with three. If one falls out during the process, as long as you have two in the end. But to start off, you certainly need three to start off. So Rabbi Yossi does not hold two is good enough to start off. You need three to start off. The Gemara says, epuch. Let's switch around. The Rabbi Yossi, shlosh l'akev. The Rabbanan, shlosh l'mitzvah. Let's switch it around. That really Rabbi Yossi holds three is la'akev, and Rabbanan holds three l'mitzvahs. So the brisa above that we said, when we initially said Chacham was the first opinion, Rabbi Yossi was the second opinion, the Gemara switches around. Really, Rabbi Yossi was the first opinion, that you need three, and Rabbanan was the second opinion, that only the mitzvah do you need three, but really, l'kuva, it's enough to have
so
two.
So Rabbanan are the one that say that if one fell, or no?
Yeah, exactly. If one fell, so Rabbanan say that's enough. Because you really, all you really need is two to start off with. The mitzvah to have three.
That was also a brisa, yeah.
That was also a brisa.
So we're dealing with two brises here.
Two brises which are contradicting each other. So we switched the other one to make them work with each other.
So why are we switching that one and not this one?
Because this one we don't have two opinions. The second one is only one opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Okay. Nothing to switch.
Okay.
So this is in regards to the eged. The machloket, but in regards to what to dischach.
Ah, very good. So the Gemara here is actually talking about paraduma, what's considered an eged. We're learning what's considered an eged for paraduma is going to be the same definition of eged for the schach. Okay. So as you were pointing out, the Gemara assumes they have the same definitions. It's possible that one could have said they're very different. Schach has a certain criteria, and paraduma might have a different criteria. The Gemara thinks it has the same criteria.
But we already learned the limud.
Lekicha, lekicha. But that was for the dal minim, not for the schach.
But did we learn something? No.
But there's another limud that you can learn dal minim from schach. So through those things, through those different levels, I think it's possible even that Tosus points this out, does he?
Late, I think so.
Oh, we are late. Okay, so let's go by it. The Gemara says, "Now, v'hatanya, this hatusa. Usually, v'hatanya is a question. Once in a while, v'hatanya is a nichusa. Actually, serves as a support. So, this supports what we just said. V'hatanya ezov tchilasa shnayim v'shirav echad kasher. If you start with two, and if you have one remaining, it's kasher. V'eino pasul. It's only pasul ad sheyeh tchilasa v'shirav echad. Only if you start with one and end with one." Shiar of Echad Pasel, if you have one left over, it's Pasel. Ha'amr Shiar of Echad Kasher. We just said if you have one left over, it's actually Kasher. What do you mean, one left over, Pasel?
This is talking about Ezov.
This is talking about what?
Ezov, the same Ezov of Paraduma, or what is it talking
about? Oh, I thought so, yeah.
So why are we starting now, suddenly Shnayim, Shiar of Echad? We're talking about Shabbat.
Right, but we said, according to the Rabbanan, if you have, starting off with three, it's only a mitzvah. But really, lechachila, right. It's enough to have two.
Okay.
So bring a support that this opinion holds that you could actually have two, lechachila. Right.
Okay.
But in this brisa, it seems to have a contradiction. The brisa first said, if there's one left over, it's kasher. And then it said, you have one left over, it's pasul. So let's read that again. V'hatanya. Ezov tchilaso shnayim v'shir av echad kasher. V'eino pasul ad sheyeh tchilaso v'shir av echad. Gemara is, shir av echad pasul. One time we said leftover one is pasul. Next time we said one leftover is kasher. That's a contradiction. So what do we mean to say? That it's only pasul when the beginning is like the end, namely that has one from the beginning and one to the end. That's in a case where it's pasul. Look at the top Rashi for a little clarification on that. Rashi says, Ela atchilasa kai, v'hachi kamar. Ain't chilasal pasul, the beginning is only pasul ad sheyehu Kishur Shiarov Dehainu Echad, until it has like the end, meaning it only has one to start with, that's when it's possible. Alma, who holds this way? Alma L'Rabbanan Shlosha Dekamar L'El L'Mitzvah. Okay, so that's how we wiggle out of that. A little bit of a confusing, but... This next Amud is a bit challenging also, though. We have 20 minutes.
So basically, Rabbanan two is a... Two, we learned about this concept of Rabbanan, who say that two is
good enough. Is good. Exactly.
Which is bad enough, which makes it possible, actually, for the
Sukkah. Oh, right, that's exactly...
They're being machmir in the Sukkah.
Right, they're make up for Parduma, but right, machmir in exactly, good okay. point. Darish Maremar. Hani Yisaraisa, the Surah, these, Rashi explains, are chavilei kanim, are types of reeds that are bundled together, and they use to sell them in the shuk. Are one is allowed to use as schach, and it's not a problem of gzeris otzer, a person might end up just throwing on top of the roof and not having intention for shade, because Rashi, Gemara explains rather, afagav de ogdon, even though they're tied together, the minyana ba'alma hu de ogdon. They're simply tied together, just Rashi explains, el minyana ba'alma, agdinu ad shimchur, they're only bundled together until you sell them. The person who buys them right away unties them. Only came to think they were bundled for a long time. Is that going to be considered a bundle? That's an issue of an otsar, that you'd be concerned they're going to leave them up for a long time. But these types of things are only wrapped together for perhaps easier to carry together when they're bundled together. But the moment a person buys them, he unties them. So we're not concerned a person's going to leave them tied up there forever. So for that reason, he explains, this is not subject to the halachas of gzeras otar and may be used for eschach. Amar Rav Abba, honey tsrifi de orvini. It's these types of, it's like a tent of some sort, that they were, Rashi explains, that they would use the bird watchers, or bird catchers really, would hide in them, and, picture. Okay, there you go. I don't have one of those pictures. So maybe in the back I do, but either way, one of those pictures, you're allowed.
We just saved $1.
Well, all right.
You don't have it, you probably have it.
I usually have it on the side of my page in black and white, and I look to the back for a nice color one. Okay, I do have it, okay. It's a beautiful picture. They used to make these little reeds, these wood, bend them together, hide in there to catch these birds.
Yeah, I don't have it here.
Oh, you do, yeah, no, right here. Either. Oh, and that one, you don't? Oh, okay. So you complain.
It's screwed. So I'm not going to buy.
So these, Srifi de Urvani, came in Shehutra, Rashi Madanim, Shelahen Ksherim. Since the ends of them are untied, they're not considered a bundle together. What exactly is the Metzius? The end that's on the floor, I guess, is untied?
Right. They're only tied on one
end.
Uh-huh. Okay. So since they're untied on one end, so Rosh is the...
Give my shoe to the right.
Rosh is the Kesher Ha'elyon.
They don't have a din of Zerat Otzar. That's the whole point.
No question, why not though? Im Hutu Harosha Kesher, Hamchan Malak Sharon. Oh, according to the way I'm getting on the side here, if you were to untie the top,
right.
only if you untie the top, then it would be permitted.
You
okay.
You say tied, but we learned that from Zerat Otar, you can't even untie untie them, they're not
kosher. Oh, okay, right.
So in this case, if you untie them, they are kosher.
So Gemara asks, so how does that work? But isn't the bottom still tied together? Amar Papa, Disharilu, you also untie the bottom? So what's the chiddush? So Rav Huna Bereid of Yeshua, Afilu Tema Delo Sharilu, even though you never tied it, Kol Eged She'inu Asa the Taltalo, Lo Shmei Eged. Any egged, any tie that's not meant to move. Look at Rashi. Rashi she'enu asur l'tatlo kigon ze shemishihiter kesher elyon. When you untie the top, im ata metatlo who nitak me'alav. It moves when you move it. It undoes on its own. Shein la ela piv kalua kimin gadul le'echos esah nitzarim. I think anything that you move around that will untie on its own, that's not considered an egged. Egged has to be something that's a little bit stronger. This is you move it, it unties. That won't be considered an eged, and that's why you're allowed to use this type of trifei urvin. Amr Rabbi Abba, Amr Shmuel, Yirakol Sh'amru, Chacham Adam Yotzei Behen Yidei Chavasa BePesach. The vegetables that the Mishnah listed that one may use for Pesach, meaning for Maror. The loch is Mivin. It's going to be a little complicated. The next few lines, Mivin Esatuma. Loch is anything that's within an ohel, within a room, is going to, if there's a mace in one corner and a person in the other corner, the roof carries the tumah from the mace to the person. So let's say you have a roof that's made of maror, that is considered a ohel, and it will bring the mace, the tumah's mace, from one person in the corner to another. However, the ein chotzim b'fnei tumah, it does not serve as a chatzitza. Usually the loch is anything that's an ohel, does two things. It allows you to bring the tumah from one end to the other end, and also it prevents anything on top of it. It doesn't go through the top. It doesn't penetrate. It blocks. Maror, in this case, is unique, where it does bring the tumah. It's considered an ohel, but it does not protect it from penetrating. There's a long Tosafot that discusses this thing, but we're not going to go through that right now. And Gemara is going to explain why that is. Further, a third halacha about this is, upolsim besukkah mishum avir. It also, if you use the maror as schach, it's going to disqualify it. It's going to view it as an airspace. So it's very strange. So these three halachas are related to ohel. So maror, on one hand, is considered an ohel, but in two halachas, is not considered an ohel. It's considered an ohel that brings tumah from one corner to the next corner. But it's not an ohel. It doesn't block the tumah from going above. The tumah goes right through. And also, it doesn't serve as schach, as an ohel for the schach. Why not? So why those two halachas is there, we don't view it as an ohel? My taima, kevan de lechi yavshe, once the maror of the vegetables begin to dry out, parchet crumbles, the nafle, and kiman de lesa dami, it falls as if it's not there. So that's the halacha, even when it's moist, and it serves as an ohel.
So we're being machmer, that's all.
Exactly. So really fundamentally, it is a good ohel for everything.
And it would normally, really fundamentally, it's a bad ohel. Just that the Chachamim made it a good ohel just to be machmer on.
No. I think really it's a good ohel.
It's a good ohel, and they're being machmer on
tumah, but also machmer to make the tumah go through the top. That's another chumrah, right. And machmer to not allow it to be a sukkah. Uh-huh. So it's machmer in all three, but really fundamentally it is a good ohel. But they're concerned if you use the moist one when it dries and crumbles, you might ignore it and consider it as if it's still an ohel, but no, it really is no longer an ohel once it dries up. So even when it's still lach and it's still moist, even then we're not going to allow it to be an ohel for a chatzitza and for the purposes of a schach. Moving forward. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna. Haboter legas ein lo yado. So someone who is harvesting all the grapes, so the din of yados is a yad, like a grape has a stem, or the clusters have a stem. So when we talk about how you make a grape tame, do we view the stem as part of the fruit or not? Let's say a person whose tummy touches the stem, does that which is used as a yad to hold the grapes or whatever you're talking about, if I touch the yad, is that going to make the food itself, the grapes themselves, also tummy or not? So the Gemara says when you're doing the bitsira, you're harvesting, you're collecting the grapes, and somebody tummy touches the yad, the stem, that is not going to be considered part of the food. He says, habot shelagas ein lo yados. We don't acknowledge the yados as being part of the grapes. Rav Menashe says, Bargada Amar Rav Huna Hakotel Schach Ein Lo Yados. When a person's harvesting, cutting off the reeds for use of Schach, that too, the Yados, the handles, the stems, or whatever he's using, that's not considered part of the Schach.
1 second, and we're being made, that's a Kula, or meaning that if somebody touches, let's say, what's telling us?
The yados is not part of tumah. Yados is not considered part of the food itself.
So that's a kula, meaning that basically correct. That doesn't let you transmit the person's tumah to the fruit.
Exactly. Because I don't want we'll see in a second why, but I don't want the stems, I want the grapes.
Okay.
And in the case of the schach, I actually want the stems, I don't want the food. Because if the food is maichel adam, it's going to be makabel tumah. Things that are makabel tumah cannot be used for schach. So in the case of the schach, I want the stems, but I don't want the fruit. I don't want them to be connected. So whenever I don't want them to be connected, even though they're physically connected, but I don't want one and I want one, not the other, we don't view them as a tumah going from one to the other, even though they're actually physically touching each other.
And what's Rav Menashe saying with reference to Hakotel Eschach in Lokat? What's the pshat?
The same thing. So let's say I'm cutting the wheat or something for right. The use okay. of the schach. So I don't want the food that's actually connected to the wheat. I want the stem, but I don't want the wheat, the food. Because
right.
The food's makabel tumma, I can't use that as my schach.
Okay.
So even though it's actually connected, if I were to touch the yad, let's say I'm tame, I were to touch the yad of the chita, it's not going to be metame, the actual food part of the chita, because I don't actually want the food
because
to be connected to the yad.
For the schach.
Right. And we see tumma, it's a lot about machshava. We'll see probably tomorrow about how machshava is very important. Rashi explains this, but we don't have that much time.
Okay.
But Rashi does explain this all out. So says the Gemara, Man the Amar Kotzer, the one who says when in terms of Kotzer for the Schach, that we don't acknowledge a Yados being connected to the food, Kol Shekein Botzer. Certainly for Botzer, we won't view the Yad as being connected to the grapes. Lo nichale, you don't want the yad there, the stem to be part of the grapes. Lo nimse lechamre, because if you take the grapes and you want to press them,
right.
The stem is going to suck up all the wine. You want more wine, the more stem, the more it's going to ruin the wine. It's going to take away some of the wine. You prefer the yad not to be part of the boats there. That's why, certainly when it comes to the boats there, yados will not be considered part of the food. Man amar boats there, the one who says by boats there that ain lo yados. That because you don't want the stems absorbing the wine. How about kotzer? Yesh lo yados. But when it came to the kotzer for the schach, you can't see why the yados and food would be helpful for them to be connected. The nichale, a person actually wants to lischech bohi, rather use the food. Kiecha delo livdurin. What does it mean livdurin? So we'll just take Tosas shot. Tosas in the bottom. Rashi and Tosas argue. Tosas says because it weighs it down. If the food weighs down the leaves and the branches, it's better for your schach to stay that way. So you'd rather the food to be there. So again, some could say no. You don't want the food to be there because the food is going to be Michael Adam. The Michael Adam is makabel tumah. While others, there's room to say that no, that you want the weight to be there. This way, the leaves don't move around.
So as man demar boter legad dafka she'ein lo yadot because he does he's not going to use him. Aval hakotzer she is no doubt that he can carry the nichale.
Everybody agrees for boter you don't want the stems because that absorbs the wine. When it comes to tzchach, it's machlokas. Some say you don't want it because the food itself is makabel tuma. While others say, no, you want it because it weighs it down. It's actually helpful to be on the tzchach. That's what comes out of it. Which one don't you get?
That's very long. What is it? Why is it nichale leschach? It seems that it's...
So I'm taking Tosas Pshat. Tosas Pshat is easier. Tosas says because it weighs it down, the schach,
okay,
so it doesn't fly away.
Doesn't
he's probably quoting Rashi.
Yeah.
He's quoting Rashi, yeah.
Which is a very long...
Yeah. So I took Tosas easier Pshat for now.
Okay.
It makes more sense. Now the Gemara says, Nema suggests perhaps the Rav Menashe Bar Gada tonight. Maybe the discussion of Rav Menashe about the kotzer, that if the yados are going to be part of the schach or not, maybe that's really machlokas tonight. Ditanya. Suke teinim bahen teinim. Let's say you use, what's suke teinim? Like the ends of the teinim, the figs that are not... It's the leaves. Okay. So you have leaves and some figs connected to them. Or parchilim, you have other types of branches, zemoros, ubahen anavim, you have grapes attached to them. Kashin ubahen shibalm, you have some type of stalks and you have wheat connected to them. Mechabdos, you have these, which are like these wide leaves. Right, the like brooms almost, like the lulav. Ubehen tamarim, and you have dates connected. Kulam, all these cases, im solas mruba, ala ochlin. If there are more leaves than food, then ksheira, because you have rove of psulim. You're not allowed to use food, but you can use leaves. Vim lav, if there is not more leaves than food, there's rather more food than leaves, then psulos.
We're talking about tzchach or about tumah now?
We're talking about tzchach.
Okay.
I believe so, yeah. Tzchach, yes. Vimlav again, if not, if you have more food than leaves, then psula. That's according to the first opinion. Achim omrim, ad sheyehu kashin rubin al hayados v'al ha'ochlim. No, you need more kashin, more psulas, not more than only the food, but also more than the food and the yados. According to the Achim, we are grouping together the yados with food, that yados is part of the food. As opposed to the first opinion, that we just need more psolas in food, but we didn't acknowledge the yados as being part of the food.
But the yados is part of, for sure, part of the yados is the schach, according to the previous dimut.
Right, but there seems to be machlokas now. If the yados is connected to the food, the yados might be viewed as an extension of the food. And if it's an extension of the food, it's ochel.
Yeah, 1 second. So you have, let's say, a branch of a vine.
Mm-hmm.
So the yados come. The yados is the part that goes between the branch and the grapes themselves. Is that what?
Yeah, I think so.
So let's say you have a branch of a vine, and then you have the yados that come of the branch, and then you have the fruit.
It's like an apple, the stem of an apple.
So we thought before that the yados add up with the branch.
Right.
And then, so basically, in that case, it's much easier because it has to be a tremendous amount of fruit to make it possible. But now we're saying no. Even if there is less fruit, since the yados add up to the fruit, it might be still possible.
Exactly. Right. Now, I think that this question of yados, is it simply because yados are connected to the food that becomes
right.
part of the food?
Okay.
Or the yados actually plays a service to it. It helps
right.
you hold the fruit, so it's being mishtamish in the fruit. I think that's a machlokes rishonim. So either way, we see the opinions of the Tanakam and the Achim and this Brisa seem to argue whether yados is part of the food or yados is part of the branches. So that's the machlokes. So the Gemara says, my lav behok mifli, are they not arguing about this very situation? The Mar Saver Yesh Lahen Yados, the Mar Saver Ein Lam Yados. So that's the Machlokas. Right. So the Gemara says, the Rabbi Abba Vale Tanai. According to Rabbi Abba, okay, that's concerning this Machlokas Tanai. The Rav Menashe Bar Gada, Mi Lema Tanai. I mean, Rabbi Abba didn't really care. Rabbi Abba was talking about the Bozer case, Rabbi Abba, above. So he'll say, this is Machlokas Tanai, that's fine. But according to Rav Menashe, is Rav Menashe going to Paskin, which Tana to Paskin like? Again, Rav Menashe, when he said a statement that across the board that yados are never part of the schach, so he's going to really get himself involved in machlokas tanaim. That doesn't make any sense. Why is he paskin had a paskin? So again, the Gemara says, where are we again? Rav Menashe Bar Gada Milema Tanai. Is he really going to get himself involved in machlokas tanaim? Amloch Rav Menashe. He says no. The Chuliyama Savriyako to the Schach ain't no yados. No. Both Tanaim agree. There's no yados. I'm not arguing with any Tana. I agree with both Tanaim. Both agree. Both them say the same thing, that there's no yados. So what's the machlokas? V'hacha b'mike askinan. What are you dealing with in this case? Kigon shekotzon leachila. You cut it for the purpose of eating initially. You cut the grapes or the fruit to eat it. V'nimla chalein the sichach. And then you change your mind. You actually wanted to use it for schach. So since initially you cut it for the purpose of eating, so then since the stem serves the purpose of helping you eat, so then let's see, did Rashi explain why this is?
If you cut them for eating, they're not, the hard part is not considered yados.
But he's saying, well, I'm trying to think of the svara, when you cut it for purpose of eating, everybody agrees it's part of the food. That's the situation. It's part of the food. Now, they don't explain why here. I'm not saying the reason why.
When they're saying, yesh lahim yados and ein lahim yados, does it mean that it doesn't mean that it's physically not there? It means that it's bottled towards the stem, or it's bottled towards the pre, as I understand.
When there are no yados, it means it's not part of the food. It's part of the branch.
It's bottled.
When we say yad means it's toughle to the food. It's the
right.
handle, so it's
right.
part of the food.
Right.
So when you cut it off for eating, everybody agrees it's...
Okay, and so when...
The question is...
I'm confused about the whole opinion here, because it's a little...
Again.
Can we review it like outside of the Gemara? Like how would that work?
So, when we say ein lo yad, again, the word yad means hand, of course, right? So, hand of the food becomes an extension of the food.
No, but with reference to what we just learned, so Rabbi Nachman Bar Yehuda Amar Rabuna Kotzer l'schach ein lo yadot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because
going back to Kotzer l'schach.
Yeah.
Because
right, so
right. For purpose
I mean,
of schach,
just saying it, and then
right.
he says, according to the one who says, oh, it's late. Okay.
So again, so according when it comes to the halachas of schach, the food and the yados, you don't want the food there, even though they're actually attached. the right. food and yados shouldn't be connected because I rather just yad, not food. So right. you don't view yad as part, the stems as part of the yad. Now this case here, so why is there machlokas? Rav Menashe says this case here is when they actually cut it off initially for the purpose of eating.
Right.
When they cut off for the purpose of eating, then we view the stem as being a yad.
As, right.
Because yad helps you in terms
so
of eating.
So according to everybody, there is no yad. But unless you cut it for food, then there is a yad because you wanted it because
exactly.
it would serve your purpose.
Exactly. And now the machlokas here in this case, though, you cut it for food and then you change your mind. You know what? Now I want to actually use it for schach.
Right.
So now will you say, now that I changed my mind, will that say the yados are no longer yados anymore? They were yados for food.
Right.
But for schach, they're not yados. So it might change your mind. Is that going to change the status of the yad or not?
So according to the one that says that the machshava goes according to the beginning of the maaseh, he would say, is that what it is? Is the machlokes according to what the machshava is at the time of your cutting it?
Well, the time of cutting certainly changes it. It certainly tells me what the Gemara is going to discuss, I guess tomorrow we'll go through this, the relevance of maaseh and machshava. Usually right. a machshava alone might not be enough. You need a maisa plus a machshava.
Right.
So when I cut it off for eating with machshava of eating, that makes the yados part of the food. Right. How can I just changing my mind? You know what? Now I want to do something different.
That's according to the Amman, the Amar, that they're mitzarif with the fruit.
Correct.
And the one that says that the machshava alone would suffice, it means that at the moment that he's nimlech on eating it, then he would have it adds up to the step.
Exactly.
Okay. The what